Ready, everything.
Video's recording. How about your audio?
My head's cut off. Oh, I've been recording this whole time.
Is that good there?
Yeah. I'm in the middle.
Welcome to another episode of Beer Fish Fanatics. This is Granny with My Pop Fishing, and we have
Kit with the Fishing Kit YouTube channel.
There you go. And today we're doing something a little bit different, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing the podcast episode outside, number one. Number two, Kit is showing me how to catfish. And number three, I don't know, is there number three?
Number three, the weather's nice, number three.
Agreed. It's beautiful out right now, so I don't forget again. Today, Fishing Kit brought Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, handcrafted ale. This is a brewery out of Chico, California. And I believe a lot of people's had this, but I actually like it. It's been a while since I've had one, so.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to find craft beer, but also it had to be in a bottle. I didn't want to bring bottles out here.
You mean a can? You said bottle.
Did I say bottle?
You said bottle.
All right.
Well, we already know his issues when it comes to bottles, too.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that.
I was looking for cans because I didn't want to bring bottles out here.
There we go. But speaking of that, I still believe he still owes, whatchamacallit, donkey kicks. I don't know if we're going to do it today in any of these episodes or whatnot, but well, he owes sooner or later.
Maybe I'll do it for Facebook.
Ah, there we go. So give this Sierra Nevada Pale Ale a swig and... cheers, guy.
Oh, got my koozie.
Trying to look professional drinker. We'll try it out. That is refreshing on a summer day. What does it taste like? What do you think? It's not hoppy.
It isn't that hoppy.
Actually, I almost have kind of a sweetness to it at the end. Don't know. It could be wrong. But it's 5.6 alcohol per content. Volume, whatever. So, good pick, guy.
For you non-beer drinkers, it tastes like beer.
So, the non-beer drinkers are probably like, that tastes like butt. But, it's not bad. It's actually pretty good. So, this week, just so everybody knows, the last couple episodes, we've been talking a lot about catfishing poles, rods. We've had several guests recommend in regards to, you know, specific poles and also reels, things like that. I took the pledge, everyone. So
yes, finally,
I don't know.
He got a real setup now.
I got a real setup. So I listened to these guys, and of course I went local. I went to get myself a Whisker Seeker catfishing rod, and it's currently right now has never caught a fish, so it's wet right now. And hopefully, if you guys hear something goes click 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 click, what we were talking about previous episodes, the bait clicker.
Yeah,
so hopefully, because Kit earlier today he actually caught some shad for us. He threw a net and caught some shad, and hopefully we can catch some catfish. I really want to be able to bring some catfish home, because I've been fishing the last two or three days, or not days, but last time out, I've caught zero.
Me too. Actually, I caught one little white bass that was like 3 inches.
So hopefully today, while doing this podcast, I guess you can say out in the waters, it brings us good luck in a sense, because all I know is I see on social media everybody catching but me.
Usually when you're doing other stuff, that's when the fish bite. And we're doing other stuff right now.
So hopefully.
If my mathematics add up, we should catch stuff.
So, but this week I just wanted to actually pick Fishing Kit's brain a little bit about in regards to the difference. Because everybody who's starting getting to fishing, they see a spinning reel and a bait casting reel. So when I first, you know, started fishing, I had no idea what the difference between the two. I always thought when someone was using a bait caster, they are just like professionals. And you know, the spinning reel, it looks simple. You just open up the bail and, you know, let go of the line and it goes. And then you see somebody use a bait caster, it's like, wow. I mean, when I first started fishing, I was like, that is something cool. But over the years, I finally started getting into bait casting and kind of understanding a little bit. But what's the difference, man? What do you think is the pros and cons, the difference between spinning and bait casting? What do you see?
First pro, makes you look like a pro to the average, the casual fisherman.
So I was right.
Because there's a barrier of entry with bait casters. Because you can't just pick one up thinking you're gonna go out there and casting it, because it takes practice. And that's like one of the cons of using a bait caster, because you gotta fine tune it to your weight and how far you want to cast and if there's wind or not. But once you get all that stuff figured out, it's like I don't even think about it. You know, I throw it behind my back, either side, whatever, in the wind.
See, that's a typical pro fisherman. They can do that, because I still have issues in regards to bait casting with the bird's nest once in a while. I don't have it as often. I did have it the other day using this new setup, and Kit was there and he just laughed. But I think that's a big turn off to people in regards to bait casting was the bird's nesting. So when birds, what that is, if people don't really use bait casters, when you cast it, and the line, whether it's too, I guess you can say the spool, if you got it way too loose and it just, you know, goes completely berserk, and then your whole, your spool gets tangled up. So that's pretty much what a bird's nest is. And I think people who start using bait casting, that's the very first thing that they encounter when they first cast or two, and it kind of discourages them. But what I recommend, because what I did was I looked at YouTube, how to start using a bait caster, and it helped me. I don't know how you learned, but I think when I did that, and then you just kind of go into the backyard or your garage or whatever, and you just kind of slowly cast with no hooks, obviously, but with a little bit of weighted, so you can kind of practice your bait casting. I think that helps a lot. I guess you can say that you can cast further with the bait caster, correct?
Mm. Yes and no. Well, when you bird's nest, what's happening is the spool is spinning faster than the line's coming out. So that's why you get that backlash. So like the spool, like you got X amount of line coming out opposed to, you know, your spool is spinning way too fast. And then so it just backs up, and then that's how the knots happen. Like if when your lure hits the water, you know, no more lines coming out, but if your spool's still spinning, it's basically letting more and more line out, but that line isn't getting pulled out, it's just bunching up in your spool. And then, you know, once you have to dial it in. Like once you get it dialed in to the point where the spool isn't overspinning compared to how much line's coming out. That's why a lot of times they tell you to, like, Once the lure or whatever bait hits the water, you stop the spool. That way your spool isn't spinning. And then that's how backlashes happen.
So I think I'll put the link to one of Fishing Kit's videos that he's using his bait casting setup, because he usually uses it quite a bit to catch wipers. And you guys can kind of see what he's talking about. When he casts, he doesn't really stop the water. I think he sets it up perfectly where when it hits the water, his spool literally almost stops, right? Almost.
Right. Yeah. Once you use it long enough, you basically learn your reel, and you can tune it exactly to the point where, you know, if conditions are right, you cast it out, your lure hit the water, and you don't even have to stop the spool.
People who do, like I said, when you first start using the bait caster or bait casters, don't get discouraged when that backlash does happen. I mean, it happens to everybody. It still happens to the best of people.
Yeah, I still backlash.
And
it happens.
It happens. It's just part of it. But it's okay. Don't get discouraged of not using it, because I feel it's a part of fishing where it actually increases the fun factor a little bit. I don't know if that's true for you, but it feels like that to me. Like when I get the chance to, you know, when I'm going for largemouth bass or even wipers or whatnot, if I'm using my bait caster, for some reason, it just changes the dynamics when you're fishing using a bait caster.
Yeah, your grip is different too. When you're using a bait caster, you got an underhand grip. I think it gives you more power, because like when you do curls, you do an underhand grip, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can do overhand curls too, but you have less power. At least I do. I have less power when I have an overhand grip. And when you're holding a spinning rod, you got overhand grip, right? You're holding it like this.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. No, you're right.
Have a bait casting reel.
You're underhand.
Underhand.
So you think more leverage?
Yeah,
you think?
More leverage.
More leverage.
So there's more power. So I don't know if a lot of people think about that stuff, but
I think that's the true fisherman's thoughts. A person like me that literally just goes out and casts and or whatever and just fish doesn't really think about that. But talking to someone like you or someone who actually kind of dissects the techniques and all the specific things, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So, oh, by the way, so everybody's listening or watching this. This is the first real true, I think you can say, video that I've ever done where it's actually fishing involved. Usually on the Mop Hop channel, I don't do any fishing, so I'm, like I said, hopefully you guys are bringing good luck and I can catch a fish would be ideal, because right now my wife's been laughing a lot that I haven't caught jack in a while. So hopefully the bait clicker goes, guys. We'll see though.
See, another pro for a bait caster, you could put heavier line.
So when you say heavier line, you're talking about like braided line?
Braid or mono.
Or mono.
Because, well, I like using braid on bait casters and spinning reels. But like with spinning reels, it comes off the top. So the thicker your line, the more, the curly cues, as you call. You know, you put 30-pound mono on a spinning reel, but when you cast, it's going to look like basically like a slinky coming out, opposed to if you put it on a bait caster, it's not coming off sideways, it's coming off like straight, so you won't have as much memory. I mean, mono is going to have memory no matter what.
I actually did a video, I think when we released this episode, actually on the Mop Hop channel, I did a video of comparing the different lines, braid, mono and fluoro, so check that video out. It's just kind of basics, just the difference between all three and the specific lures to use and what all three, the pros and cons on that. So make sure you guys check that one out. And another thing that I've been noticing a lot, I was talking to Kit earlier, is I see a lot of people posting the difference. So the difference between, I guess you can say, white bass, yellow bass, striped bass, and hybrid bass. Did I say that already? Or wiper, same thing. Right?
That's white, yeah. I think they call them, you know, hybrid, white bass, wiper. I think some states call them like sunshine bass or something like that.
Yeah. So I see a lot of people, you know, post up and they're just like, look at this, you know, striper I caught. And we all know there's no striper in that vicinity, that area. But my thing is that, what's the, okay, so when you catch a white bass, you catch a wiper, you catch one of those, how do you tell that? Because I know you catch, obviously, in your channel, if you guys go to the channel, he catches a lot of, you know, decent, good-sized wipers, and you know the difference right away. So for somebody like myself or somebody who doesn't fish too often, how do you tell the difference between, oh, this is a white bass? No, this is a wiper. No, this is a striped bass or yellow bass.
So you got your white bass, yellow bass, hybrid, and striper. Those are your temperate bass. If you're saying stripers and you live in Iowa, sorry to tell you, but those aren't stripers, because we just don't have stripers here. I think people just see a whitefish with stripes, striper. I mean, and then they call wipers that too. Technically they're half right but also half wrong. A wiper is a hybrid between a white bass and a striped bass. Ocean striped bass. You just had a bite, dude.
Had a bite. This could change. How come my clicker's not clicking?
It clicked once. But
oh,
your,
it did.
Your
I saw that rod bend, though.
Your rod tipped over.
Yeah, I saw that. So if we go, like, complete silence for a while, that means
you see us run off.
Yeah, we run off here. So just FYI, everyone. But anyways, I think the biggest... The thing with the wipers, ooh, I might have broken the cherry on this. We'll see, everyone. Give me just a minute.
Just wait. Just let the fish take it.
Should I set it on the retrieve or no?
No.
Not yet. So, yeah, I just got a little bit quiet, everyone.
Yeah, he got a couple bites on his catfish rod. Just reel up the slack. If you have any, then just put it back down.
All right. So,
anyways,
false alarm, everyone. Well, we did get a bite, though.
Lucky him.
Lucky me. So, anyways, we were talking about white bass and hybrids and how to tell, to distinguish the difference between all of them. The biggest thing, I think, with a wiper, like, okay, explain to me on a wiper. How do you tell you just caught a wiper?
The only definitive way to tell a wiper is look at the tongue patch. They got, like, two little... I don't know what to call them. I think they call them tongue patches. Like two little patches on their tongue. Wipers have two. I think striped bass have two, but we don't have striped bass. So you just rule them out of Iowa. And then the white bass only have one. That's the only for sure way to tell.
How about the lines on the bodies? Because I know on a white bass, it goes all the way to the tail. It's pretty continuously straight, right? The line, or does it break? Because I know for a fact, on hybrids or wipers, they break.
Right, they're like staggered.
Yeah,
but I feel like they're more defined. But they say you can't really judge it off of the stripes. But like a white bass, I feel like they got stripes on the top half, but then on the bottom half, it's really broken up. Like it's dots. Like you got dots and lines and stuff. Oh, you'll just have to throw up a picture.
I think so. I'll throw up a picture. If I don't throw up a picture here, I'll throw it on my website or the Facebook or whatever. Because I think the thing is, like I was saying, I've seen a lot of people just... And the funny thing is, people get on the internet and they just argue about the dumbest things, man. Because they're just arguing like, no, that's a white bat. No, that's a wiper. No, I'm just like...
You can't really go off the stripes, but I feel like wipers in general have more defined, darker stripes.
All right, come on, fish. I want to hear that bait clicker going. Yeah, so,
I wanted to go back to a con of the bait caster.
What's up?
Like pricing. You could get away with like a $20 spinning reel. You know, you go out there, cast your line. The drag might not be that good, but I don't think there's very many $20 bait casting reels out there.
If they are, I've never seen one. I mean, I've never used one, so I don't know.
And if they are, I mean, I don't know from firsthand experience or not, but I feel like they won't be as good. Oh, I mean, it shouldn't be as good as like an $80 reel.
So does it make a difference, you think, in regards to, I mean, obviously, supposedly, the quality increases with the cost?
It depends if the price reflects the materials, but if a reel is expensive just for the sake of being expensive, then no. But if, like, let's say this reel costs more because it's got, you know, better quality parts, like more, I don't know, carbon fiber, aluminum, better metals and whatnot, versus this reel that has 50% plastic.
So
that's where I could justify getting a more expensive reel. But like, let's say just because this brand has this reel, even though it's comparable to this cheaper brand and the materials cost the same, you know, it can't really justify getting this one just because it's a better brand.
So the biggest thing is know your components, I guess, a little. I just got back from Denver and my brother-in-law was just actually showing me the difference of specific reels that we were using and what the components had and what the marketing, I guess you can say, companies do the marketing wise in regards to like bearings and all that stuff. They you'd be surprised. So definitely look at the components of what your reel has. If you're gonna spend that amount of money, you might as well spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes ahead of time actually just to find out the components and see, like you were saying, if it's kind of, I guess you can say, worth the money in a sense.
Yeah, and more bearings doesn't necessarily mean better, because you go buy a Chinese $15 reel that has, you know, 9 plus ball bearings and it costs $15. Or you go buy like a Shimano mid-range reel, costs like $80, but it's only got 4 or 5 bearings.
You'd be surprised where the bearings are located, everybody. I'm just a heads up, FYI.
Yeah.
You'd be very surprised where they put those bearings, because I found out that like sometimes they count the bearings where it has no effect on the reel itself, but they still count it. It is what it is. I mean, but
they're technically, they're not lying.
Yes, but it doesn't affect the I guess you can say the performance of the item.
I want to throw out another rod, man.
We'll do another episode here. We're gonna be out here for a while. Fishing Kid's gonna go and toss another rod or two out. I'm probably gonna go try and toss another rod out. Hopefully you guys learned a little bit in regards to the difference between the bass species. A little bit we learned about the reels and everything, and we're out here fishing, man. I don't know, I'm having a good time. I don't have four little rugrats tugging on my leg and telling me I need this, daddy. So I can't complain. I'm having a beer with this guy, and I'm waiting right now patiently to see if we can catch a fish for you guys. So, and I'll definitely show it. If we catch a fish, definitely gonna be on the channel. I'm definitely gonna show it. So, other than that, until next time, guys.
See ya.